presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's our pleasure to bring the Word of God to you today. We thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, or also I think it's going out at 102.3. You may also be listening if you're listening at 10:30 on 1510 WWBC, 1510 AM. So thank you for tuning in. We are thankful to be here today. Hope that you have been enjoying the broadcast. We want to thank those of you who've texted us or emailed us, and I guess it was email. They both come to my phone, so I got them mixed up, but emailing words of encouragement. I've received them from all the way down as far as Vero Beach, as well as locally here, encountering people in restaurants here in the county saying that they've been listening. So thank you for tuning in, and let's get to the Word of God today. And Isaiah chapter 5 is where we are going to be. Isaiah chapter 5. We're not going to touch on every verse here. We probably read most of the verses, but we will touch on the ones that feel like God would have something to say for us today on. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, excuse me, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help." Give me just a second as I write something down here, because I don't want to miss sharing this point with you here in a little bit. So God is talking about his people Israel, that and he begins to identify them. First of all, it identifies his nature, that he is the well-beloved. He loves well. He loves well. There's no one that will ever love you better than God loves you. And so he sings over his people. I love how in the little minor prophet Zephaniah, it's towards the very end of the Old Testament, just a few books from the very end, Zephaniah, then it goes to Haggai, and Zephaniah chapter 3, it talks about, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the king of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more." There's a place in there where there it is. It's a few verses down, 16. "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's what God does. He loves well. He wants our relationship with him to be a healthy, vibrant, powerful relationship, of such an extent that word rejoice there actually indicates spinning like a top, that there's just so much joy that is going on that it has led to dancing. And that's the way that God longs to deal with his people. And so because he wants the very best for us, that was what we were praying this morning, is God, we want your best today. Before I came in here today, I was praying, God, may your word prevail in my heart. May your word prevail in my mind. May your word prevail in my mouth, in my actions. May your word prevail in our county and in our country. God, may your word prevail over all the nations of the earth. We want his word to be exalted above. And here is what came to me this morning. And that is this: if God has exalted his word and his name above all other things, how much more then should we exalt his word above our priorities, above our feelings, above our schedule? Let's exalt his word. Let's elevate his word in our life. If we want to see a different result, a different outcome, then we need to see the word of God elevated in our day-to-day living. And so God, he loves well. He loves you today. It doesn't matter where you are or what you've done, God loves you. Now, his love, because he does love you, is going to result in his activity in my life, his activity in our church, his activity in this community. If God loves you, he's going to get involved in your life, and he's going to mess with your normal. He's going to redefine normal. And so I just want to show you that, because this is what it says: my well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. If I can, I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, I was serving in Brevard County for a number of years, about 3 years as a youth pastor. And the last year that I was there, God kept bringing this verse up over and over to me and in my personal devotions, and he was saying, you know, that he was going to cause me to be a lead pastor, a senior pastor. And so verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5 was the verse. It says, but may the God of all glory, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The devotion that I was reading at that time, and it, you know, is very unusual for such a small devotion to repeat things so frequently, but it said this: and the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and place you where he wants you, and after you have suffered a little while, cause you to be established and to prosper. And so that's what God began to stir in my spirit. And you know what? I have determined that God will not plant me in a place that will not be fruitful. God will plant me in a place where the fruit of the Spirit will manifest in my life. He's going to place me in a soil condition where I am going to be able to sow and to reap. I'm going to be able to penetrate. I'm going to be able to have the nourishment that I need in order to thrive. God will plant you in a place of fruitfulness. The word says that God is able to make the desert to blossom and to be bountiful. So please do not think that if you were not planted at this place, or planted someplace else, or planted in one of these other utopian type situations that others have been in, that you cannot thrive. God will cause you to be able to be fruitful. So If you have never been to Merit Assembly of God, I want to tell you that we tend to be one of Brevard County's best kept secrets, because you really have to be looking for our church in order to find it. Now, it's a lot easier with GPS, because, you know, you can type in the address and it'll give you turn by turn directions. But we were two blocks from everywhere that people normally went. We were two blocks north of 520. You couldn't see us from 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney. You couldn't see us from Courtney. We are two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and you can't see us from Tropical Trail. We're two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. You can't see us from Merritt Avenue. And so you had to be looking for us, but there was a couple of things that God brought about in our situation that caused me to change my perspective, to think that God could grow Merit Assembly of God. You see, we were out knocking on doors when I first came to the church, and ran across this deacon at another church, and he said, "Oh yeah, that's the little church over there that never could hold any people." And so we came against that thing, and we started praying and said, "God, that is not what you have called your church to be, a place that does not have any long-term viability. That doesn't line up with your word." And so we reject that. There were other people that said that it was a place that was cursed from the very beginning. We said, "God, your church is not cursed. It's blessed, and you can turn the devil's curse into a blessing." And another people said, "Well, that's a church that doesn't have any money." And we began to pray, and we said, "You know what? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Today, we're not looking to people as our source of revenue, but God, you are able to cause everything we put our hand to prosper." And so we began to pray that God would cause our church to be things that he declared it could be, not what people declared it could be. So I had to go to a meeting, and this particular meeting was at a church in the Orlando area. And even though it was on a busier traffic road than what we are, this was a very large church, but yet it was more difficult to find than what ours was. And I said, "God, if you can do it here, you can do it at Merit Assembly of God." And so we continued to believe that. And then several years ago, my wife said, "Honey, I believe that God would have us to do a free yard sale." And so I tried to relabel it something different. It was a flop. And she said, "Honey, what God told me was we needed to have a free yard sale." And I said, "Oh, well, why don't we have a free yard sale this time?" And so we advertised it at that. And what I found was the morning of the yard sale, that there were people lined up a dozen or two dozen deep waiting for the yard sale to open. And I said, "God, if people can have that sort of expectation that they can come to Grove Street knowing they're going to find a yard sale, and maybe they'll find something of value that they can take home, they can come and hear the word of God." And so we just declared, "God, you can use us." And we've got a family in our church that's been there almost a year, not quite a year yet. And our prayer has always been, "God, may the presence of the living God be so manifest in this church that as people are walking and driving up and down the road, that they will be drawn to this place because of a need that they have in their life." This person got up and testified in our church service and said, "You know, I'd driven by your church, I'd walked by your church a lot of times, and not just your church, but other churches. But every time I came by your church, I felt like God had drawn me in and said, this is the place where you're going to grow." Now, that doesn't mean that the presence of God isn't at other churches as well. That's not the case. But for that lady, where God wanted her to be was at Merit Assembly of God, because she is thriving. She is doing well in her spiritual journey. And so we are very, very thankful for that. God will not place you in a place where you are going to fail He is going to place you in a place where you are going to be fruitful for him. Let's look at what he does in the life of this vineyard that he loves. It says he dug it up and cleared out its stones. There was a pruning process, a refining process. As I've been walking throughout the county or through our community through Merritt Island, and I forget where I was walking the other day. I was walking someplace else, and I saw this as well. There are all sorts of people right now, and they're digging up their yards. The winter, I guess, was hard on some of their lawns, and they're redoing their irrigation system. One of the men in the church did this. I've seen a couple of other people did this, and you would look and say, they have taken their beautiful green lawn and they have dug it all up. Actually, if you would have talked to the people, they would have told you that even though it was green, it wasn't a lawn. It was growing things in it that they did not wish to have. And so they come and they dig it up, not because they don't want their lawn to be beautiful, but because they do. And they run the irrigation lines, and they get it to where it will thrive. And that is what God did with his people Israel. He said, I have dug it up and cleared out its stones, things that would have choked out the root system, things that would have prevented the vineyard from growing and maturing and thriving the way that it should be. God says, I'm going to come and I am going to create, you know, even though it's a fruitful place, I am going to make sure that everything is out of this vineyard that could threaten my crop. That's why God is constantly dealing with us by his Holy Spirit, challenging us to allow him to take away all of the sin out of our life, the ungodly thoughts out of our mind. We need God to refine us and mold us and purge us of anything that would threaten our spiritual maturity. He dug it up and cleared its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. That's what God has placed inside of us. He's placed his word. If you were to look in the book of Matthew and the parable of the sower, you would find that it is talking, not the parable of the sower, but the parable of the sower, that when he is talking about that it is his word that is what is sown, and it depends upon where it falls as to how well it is going to thrive. And so we need to be the type of person that when there is word that is sown into us, we allow it to go down into our lives and penetrate, take root so that it may grow. God wants us to be planted with the best vine. The best vine. When I redid my lawn 10 years ago or whatever, you know, they said, well, you've got to make sure that the soil has all of the right chemical balances and it's for the type of grass that you are going to plant here. God wants the very best for you. He plants the best seed. He's not going to sow defective or second-rate materials into your life or my life. It said he built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. In other words, God is protecting that vineyard. He's looking over. He wants to be able to see not just the one or two of the plants. He wants to be able to see the entire perimeter. As a shepherd, he wants to have daily contact with his sheep. He wants to make sure that they are free from disease and free from annoying pests and parasites. He wants to make sure that they have the right hydration and the right diet. He wants to be actively involved. He plants you and I with the best. And I wonder why so many times we fight against God's best. It's almost like even though we are redeemed by the Lamb, that sometimes we still don't trust that his will, his path, his way is going to be the best way. And I'm saying this as a father, and our youngest daughter is graduating from college tomorrow, and she had her one of her professors said, you know, this is the field that I believe you are going to excel in. And that was about a year and a half ago. And she was like, really? And she said, oh, yeah, you would do great in this field. You would thrive in this area. And so she had a job interview last week with a company out of state, a Christian company. And, you know, after she had the telephone interview set up, she began to talk to me and say, Dad, you know, I don't know if I want to move there. You know, if they offer me the job, I don't know if I want to move there. And you know, but it wasn't because it wasn't the will of God. It was like, I just don't know if I want to be that far away from home. And I said, well, let me just explain something to you. I said, that mindset has not really entered into my mind before, because when I answered God's call, I said I would go wherever he wanted me to go. I would do whatever he wanted me to do. And so that's the way that I've chosen to live life. And I told her, I said, if I had been hesitant to leave Oklahoma to go to Illinois, I said, I never would have met your mother and you wouldn't exist. And so she said, yeah, that's dawned on me. Well, to give you an update, she did pray. She did talk to them. The job offer wasn't as provisional. It didn't have an adequate amount of supply that she would have been able to live in that place. And it wasn't a ministry position. And she didn't feel like that was what God had for her. And as soon as she turned that down, she got another interview set up much closer to home, and it's doing something that she will thrive at as well. And so we just want to look over that, because God is going to protect us. He wants to watch over every area of our life. It doesn't matter if anybody else is watching. It doesn't matter if anybody else can see it. God's going to put a tower in the midst. And he also made a wine press in it. Now, here's the thing. You would put a wine press in a vineyard because you expect a vineyard to produce grapes that you are going to be able to transform into a useful product. And so God, in his preparation of his vineyard, he says that I'm doing this with an expectation of fruitfulness. In fact, it says, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. I want you to know that God loves you. God saves you. He redeems you. But he also has expectations of you, and he has expectations of me. He expects that we are going to love him. He expects that we are going to listen to him. He expects that we are going to want to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He expects that we are going to bring forth spiritual fruit, that we're going to do life the way that he trains us to do life. And so there are those expectations. He expects that we are going to pray. He expects that we are going to fellowship together. There are a lot of expectations that God, he expects that we are going to be pillars of righteousness. He expects that we're going to walk in spiritual authority. He expects that we are going to be more than overcomers. God has done everything in for us that needs to be done. And he says, all I want you to do is bring forth the fruit that I have equipped you to be able to bring forth. And it says, instead of seeing those expectations met, that the nation of Israel brought forth wild grapes. In other words, they brought forth fruit that was not useful. It couldn't be bottled. It couldn't be harvested and used in a beneficial manner. Instead, it was about as useful as a weed. And I want to ask you today, Have you and I allowed God to minister in us to such an extent that we can be trusted by Him to bring forth good fruit? You know, there was a question that was asked a long time ago, a lot of times people are trying to be persuaded to trust God. Today, I'm not here trying to persuade you to trust God. God is perfectly trustable. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He is good. He is holy. If you do not trust Him, that's not a me problem. That would be a you problem. If I don't trust Him, that's a me problem. But this person asked a question, and that is this: can God trust you? On our money, it says, "In God we trust." Today, I want to ask you, can God trust you? The question that person said, does God trust men? And I want you to know He does. It says in the scriptures that the gospel has been entrusted to the saints once and for all. There is no backup plan. There is no backup plan. God trusts that you and I are going to bring forth good fruit to the glory of God, that we are going to be faithful and reliable. We're going to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit against which there is no law. Bring forth good fruit. You have been loved by God. He rejoices over you with singing. He is pleased with you. He has planted you in a fruitful place. He has removed any threat from your environment. He has planted you with the choicest of seed. He is watching over you to protect you, and He is preparing a place where you and I can be fruitful. Now, that wine press, I just thought I'd share this with you. That's what Gethsemane means. It wasn't a wine press. It was an olive press. Gethsemane meant that it was a place where olives were pressed and the oil began to come out. Today I want to ask you, if the pressures of life kicked in, if there was a lot of tension that is going on, what would come squeezing out of us? Would it be complaining and murmuring and cursing, or would it be praise and thanksgiving? Would God, if we were placed in the squeeze, would God be able to say, "You have brought forth good fruit. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, I pray today that we would be fruitful people, that the fruit that we bring forth would be exemplify the effort and the seed you have sown into us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."